welcome to Greystone. I count you among the righteous. You have shown up on a holiday weekend. Welcome to this family of faith. Here at Greystone, your presence here does matter to us. We believe that we are richer, stronger, and better because of the community that exists here. So thank you for being a part of that community, and thank you for joining us in worship today. Whether you're new to Greystone or have been here for almost 35 years, next week is our anniversary. I hope you'll come back for Heritage Sunday next Sunday. But whether you are new here or have been here for 35 years, thank you for coming to worship today. This morning in worship, we're going to turn our attention to the book of Hebrews, an ancient text coming out of Egypt. I'm not sure of the authorship, but an important text within the Christian tradition. And we're going to be looking at Hebrews 13, a series of mini sermons helping us to understand what it means to live the life of a disciple, a life that is shaped by and marked by the cross of Christ. So as we begin to worship, let's offer our praises. And if you wouldn't mind, stand with me. Join me in the call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. Jesus said, "Love one another, even as I have loved you."
Love is more powerful than fear. It is mightier than hatred.
Let the love which God has lavished upon us be poured out to those in need.
Help us, O Lord, to witness to you by the ways in which we care for others.
Remind us, Lord, that we are called to be your disciples.
As we worship this morning, heal our hearts and spirits and prepare us for service.
Amen.
While you're standing, you can just take out your hymn book and turn to number 12. Praise Him is our opening song this morning. Let's do just that. Let's praise our God through song.
Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. Tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. Be our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, heavenly portals, loudeth hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Over the world victorious, unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
morning. I think I have one or two more coming to join us. So how was the first week of school? Was it good? I am so glad. Do you know, one of the very first things that people learn was to love God. You all talked about that in Bible school, right? Love God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength. But what was the next part of that? That's the part that Jesus told us. It said to love your neighbor, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. That is right. Jesus said, I want you to make sure that you love other people, love one another. And our scripture verses today are going to teach us some ways to do that. It talks about being kind to strangers and showing hospitality. Do you know what hospitality is? No. Have you ever had a friend come over to your house? Yes. And maybe they ate with you or played with your toys? Yeah. That is hospitality. And did you ever let that friend that comes over to your house, did you let them play with like your most favorite toy ever, even though you really wanted to play with it? Yes, yes. That is showing hospitality, is when you show kindness, even when it's hard, even when it's kind of challenging and it takes a little bit of work, but we show kindness anyway. That is the kind of love and kindness that Jesus wants us to share with people. Do you think that Jesus only wants us to be kind like that to our very best friends? No. Do you think that to the poor and the sick? See, you're beating me to it. Jesus wants us to show that kind of kindness to everybody. Does it only have to be the people that we know? No. How can we be kind to strangers? How can we be kind to strangers, William? Well, we might have to get some help with that kind of grown up, but I think that we can show kindness to children, we can show kindness to strangers, like when we're at the grocery store and they're checking out our bags, we can smile and say thank you and ask them how their day is. When we are in the cafeteria at school and we're going through that line to get our food, we can say good morning or afternoon, and we can say thank you to the people who are cooking our food. How can we show kindness to strangers?
We can get bags and put food in them and then give them to the poor.
Okay, we can share our food with people who don't have as much food, right? You like to do that. You like to hand bags out of the windows of our car to people you see on the street, don't you? Yes. There are lots of ways that we can show that kind of kindness, and I want you to find a way this week to show kindness and hospitality and love to your family, to your friends, to your classmates, and to the teachers at school and the people who work in the cafeteria and whoever helps clean your school and the people you see at the grocery store and the gas station. And if you play soccer or baseball, I want you to show love and kindness to all those people. Can you give it a try this week? Yeah. Can you pray with me? God, thank you for the encouragement to love one another. Help us to do just that this week, and to love everyone that we come in contact with. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our next hymn is hymn number 424. Let's stand together. Servant too. We are pilgrims all.
road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony. Born of all we've known together, of Christ's love and agony.
Please pray with me. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather here in community, for the chance to offer up to you praises in word and song. Let us also remember that we praise you by doing good and sharing. May the tithes and offerings we make now bring such praise to you as we continue to work to support the work of this community in this and other ways. Amen.
Things that Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him, alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise Him, oh, praise Him.
Please pray with me. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day and for your presence in it. Help us to not overlook your presence in our world and in our daily lives, for you are with us along each step of the way. This morning we are reminded of your command to love one another. Help us to do just that in our world that seems divided more and more each day. Help us to love beyond those divisions. Help us to love our stranger. Help us to love the person on the other side of the political fence than us. Help us to love the person who's on the opposite side of an argument. Help us to show love to those whom we disagree with. Help us to step out of our comfort zones and to share your love with people who act, think, and live differently than we do in our own homes. Help us to have the courage to be the one that shows love first. And help us to be accepting of love that is shown to us and to be gracious in all ways. Help us find ways to be hospitable and to open our homes and our lives to more people. Help us to have diversity in many ways, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, and in our friend groups. Help us to find ways to be your hands, your feet, and your words to all those whom we come in contact with. In your name we pray. Amen. A reading from Hebrews chapter 13. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all. And let marriage bed be held be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders and those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of God for the people of God.
Have full faith. Help us live with holiness and honor, to be all love means for us to be. Not content to injure or to quarrel, but to live in peace and harmony. Though we boldly go fulfill our mission, let us boldly go with love as well. Teach us how to care and show compassion, to love others as we love ourselves. Teach us how to care and show compassion, to love others as we love ourselves.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Pam. So as I stand here today, I realize that maybe it's just me. But has anyone else noticed a growing coarseness to our daily lives? Do you feel that sometimes? Have you ever been maybe surprised recently by the force of defensiveness or a hardness that sprang up the instant a particular topic or person or event came up? Is the list of acceptable topics at family dinners and social outings getting smaller and smaller? Is it just me? Or do you struggle with that as well? A rough handling of people, ideas, and affairs seems to flourish at all levels of our social and political life these days. Our screens, our interactions, our thinking all seem to have developed an edge. An edge that drives us further and further into bunkers of self-serving isolation. Radio talk shows, reality television, they thrive on conflict. They generate ad revenue by superheating diatribes. The drivers of both grocery carts and SUVs seem to be increasingly aggressive. And as I stand here this morning, our prayers go to Odessa, Texas. Political leaders who attack one another seem to be the new gladiators of emerging spectacle of a winner-take-all crusade that's being waged on Twitter and social media. Is it just me, or do you sense this too? You know, there's been a very hotly debated topic this week. I don't know if you weighed in. But there's been a debate about who makes a better chicken sandwich, Popeyes or Chick-fil-A. Now, to be honest, I'm not sure that all of us really love Chick-fil-A. I mean, those pickles are disconcerting. Could it be that maybe we just keep showing up at that restaurant because the employees are required to be nice to us? We need ever so desperately to walk into a space and have a human being smile at us and greet us with welcome. When I was a kid, my mom's side of the family, we were really close-knit. My mom and her brothers worked together every day at my grandfather's business. And on top of their 8-to-5 daily interactions, we added to that family dinners once a month. And as if that wasn't enough, there were always more peewee football games to go to, cookouts at the lake. We spent a lot of time together.
I remember spending Saturdays at my grandfather's house. And at my grandfather's house also lived my Uncle Ernie. And so I would spend my morning watching cartoons, but as soon as lunchtime came around, I would have to cede control of the television dial. Yes, back then we didn't have remotes. We turned a knob on the television. I would cede control of the television dial, and he would find his favorite television, wrestling. Now, if you're from Greer, South Carolina, that's wrestling. So I spent many a Sunday afternoon tuned in with him to his heroes like Ric Flair and Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. And they would fly through the air and demonstrate their mastery of things like suplexes, pile drivers, and a figure four leg lock. Now, I was also kind of a sensitive kid. And so I was generally horrified by this hand-to-hand combat that was breaking out in the living room. So one of the things that my uncle would always tell me, he would say, "Shug, don't worry, it's all pretend. It's just fake." Opening my Facebook account or my Twitter feed some days feels like wrestling. The problem is, it's not fake. We are actually treating each other with disregard and contempt on a daily basis. And this spectacle of divisiveness plays out on a loop of cynicism that does not end. And it's rarely noticed because it is continuous and these days passes for normative. The banality and baseness of it all rips at our spirits and twists us in body and spirit into smaller versions of ourselves. And if we as individuals feel this way, then it is no wonder that our churches across all denominations are showing signs of this same stress. We seem to be trapped in a cage match, yelling past one another, showboating for attention, crouched on the ropes, waiting for a moment when we can attack and pin our opponent to the mat. There has to be a different way. Today, the writer of Hebrews offers a series of bullet points under the heading of "Let Mutual Love Continue." It echoes back to Jesus' new command. We find that in John chapter 13, verse 34, where Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another." Now that is a grand, overarching, broad statement. It's an ideal. It's a kind of pie in the sky thing that we can all try to think about, but it's hard to figure out how to actually put it into daily practice. And so the gift of this morning is for all those times that you wished that Scripture was clearer, where you were confused and needed a simple answer, here is Hebrews 13. For here, the author takes apart this wide, open imperative of Jesus and moves it into something that is pointed, something that is contextually and behaviorally measurable. You can tell if you've done it or not. In these verses, we find a way of life that is fleshed out, that is understandable, but oh, so difficult. While simple and straightforward, it is not easy. The directions are clear, can be practiced by anybody. But to actually do them. If we're honest, truly honest with ourselves, we understand that it's those everyday, moment-by-moment choices that we make as disciples that trip us up. I think it is easier to practice these grand acts of self-denial or generosity, heroic acts of courage, than it is to lean in and pay attention to the hour-by-hour call upon our lives to build up the kingdom of God. We will sign up for the mission trip that takes us across the globe to build houses. We will give sacrificially when there is a need placed before us. I know people who quit their jobs, gave it all away because the cause was right. But saying hello to a stranger, practicing patience with a spouse, saying no to the latest and greatest trend. These are perhaps the hardest and most essential parts of our lives as disciples and our lives together. Today's lesson actually is showing us how to live into cruciformity, how to take up cross-shaped living in our everyday lives. For you see, the cross of Jesus is not only our source of salvation, it is the shape of our salvation. Living our lives modeled after and shaped by this cross is our hope. It's our calling. It's our mission. And frankly, it's the only way forward. In a world that is marked by pain and pettiness, dishonesty and naked ambition, there is another way. And we as disciples are called upon to choose that way every day, every hour, every minute. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. I mean, it is so easy to let a stranger just remain a stranger. By keeping people we don't know at a distance, then we absolve ourselves of any claim that they might have on our time, our energy, or our attention. We don't have to be concerned or take notice of their problems since we don't know anything about who they are or what their circumstances are. It is easier to let the stranger just be a stranger. No name, no face, just otherness. If we ignore them, they might go away. But this won't work for those of us who are called to imitate the very vulnerability of Jesus as disciples. We are called to roll out that welcome mat and invite anyone in, risking exposure to need, loss, pain, new ways of thinking. And as if that wasn't hard enough, the text draws us in a bit further. It's an interesting challenge. We're to define the stranger as angel. Now remember that angels in the Bible come with a message from God. They are messengers of God. So could it be that the text is saying that it is through strangers that we will hear a word from God? We will understand a bit more about our calling, how God wants and needs for us to work and serve in this world. As a group of people who claim to want to know the heart of God, to hear the voice of God, the scripture this morning points us to an unlikely source of divine utterance. If strangers are sometimes angels, then we had best tune our ears to the unfamiliar and sometimes difficult stories of people who live outside our circles. We are called to listen. And if that wasn't difficult enough, Hebrews goes on to point out that we don't get to set a limit on strangeness. Our welcome is to extend to strangers, to those imprisoned, to those abused, and to those who are tortured. God requires us to extend and receive, sit and welcome all. Period. Full stop. There are no loopholes. There are no special circumstances. We are hereby ordained to be a 24/7 holy welcoming committee everywhere we go. And that is to live in the shape of the cross, cruciformity. Well, that's hard. Let's see if we can make life harder. Let marriage be held in honor. Our nation, our culture is obsessed with sex. And so we are drawn to the salacious, to the tempting. We want to know and dig into what's right and wrong and feel some of the heat off of that. This morning, I really think we should look at what's underneath, however. So I point you to the truth that the promises that we make to one another, they matter. The Bible uses marriage as a metaphor to help us understand the level of commitment, the level of passion that God brings to creation and to the church. And if Jesus the Christ is committed to journey with us throughout all of our lives, through eternity, and use that very relationship to bring forth the unfolding kingdom of God, then we need to take our commitments to each other and to God seriously. And we need to guard them with vigor. And we won't be able to do that by ourselves. That is too hard. And so the text tells us that our promises are to be held in honor by all. There is community that surrounds us, that supports us, that upholds us. Living in the shape of a cross is too hard to do by yourself. And so the Spirit of God comes and helps us. The people of God come around us and help us, and we try. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. As I shared these words with you this morning, please know that this afternoon I'm going shoe shopping. I realize that it is not just the collective we that have a problem with contentment. I place myself at the center of this with you. But have you ever noticed that when Jesus was walking this earth and sending out his disciples to preach and teach and share the good news, that he never gave them a suitcase? There wasn't a group of administrative assistants who were pulling together an itinerary or a scouting team that was moving on before them, setting up all the logistics. When Paul was wandering around the Roman Empire, it was just him. Maybe a friend or two. Their plans shifted on things like dreams and visions. Sometimes they stayed in a town for a really long time, and then other times they just kept on going as the Spirit led. There were no call-ahead reservations or scouting groups. The call was simply to go. Speak the good news. See if somebody will invite you to stay with them in their house. They are sent out with a sense of dependency. Jesus basically tells his followers, show up, trust God, somebody's going to take care of you. this is not practical. None of us would launch out on any trip at all with this model. It's just not practical. But it is theological. Jesus does this because the kind of world he wants his followers to embody, the kind of faith that he wants them to proclaim and teach and prompt in others, well, he wants to tell them of a kingdom that is coming near and such things as relying on God, learning how to be a guest, discovering how you are enchanted as you encounter hospitality, letting go of the things that make you comfortable and which you have been so shaped and molded by. Walk away from having to defend your possessions. Walk with vulnerability through this world so that you can learn how to love it as God loves it, how to see it as God sees it. Remember that in Philippians, Paul told us that Jesus did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped or preserved, but he made himself nothing. He took the form of a servant and humbled himself even unto death. And that's the gospel that the disciples of Jesus Christ are to proclaim. This is the kingdom coming near. And it's based on things like a cup of water, a room in which to sleep, an expression of welcome. Cruciformity requires vulnerability and dependence. So, this morning, if we are unclear about what faith-filled living might look like, Scripture offers clarity. It's about entertaining angels, especially angels in disguise. We are to be hospitable to strangers and listen for the voice of God. We are to care for those in prison without judgment and without exception. We are to notice and take the cause of the tortured and the abused. We are to respect relationships and pray for our leaders. We are to trust in God's abundance and share what we have so that our neighbors don't go needy. Mutual love. It's simple, but it's not easy, and that's the point. We are to choose God's holy ways every day and every moment. And I promise that each of us in our own way will fail spectacularly. We're not going to get it right. We're going to miss the mark. And for that, there is forgiveness and grace, grace enough to start over and begin again. For you see, God's love is an ancient promise that cannot be broken. Not by me and not by you. So let's take heart. Let's choose love, even though it's hard. And in that choice, know that you are surrounded by the Spirit of God. You are upheld in the hearts of this people. And we will make this journey together. Let us pray. Lord, we'll admit, some of us, all of us, come into this world wanting to be number one. Our goal is self-sufficiency, a freedom at all cost fills our expectations and our desires. We love to be at the front of the class and the first in line. Yet in Jesus, you call us to walk a different path in the world. You call us to community. Teach us to walk that narrower path. Give us the grace to think of others before we think of ourselves. Enable us to reach out beyond our close circle of friends in order to show your love to someone in need. Guide us toward the downward path. For there, among those who hurt and who are in need, among the wretched of the earth, we shall find you, our Lord and Savior, our judge and our guide. If there is a commitment, a prayer that you need to share with this community of faith, during this response hymn, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee, if you need to share that, then come forward. I will be here to pray with you, to receive you, to offer blessing to you on behalf of this community. So as we continue in prayer through the singing of song, make your commitments to a grace-filled, forgiving, loving God.
Let's stand together if you're able and sing hymn number 665.
Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Greet each other with the peace of Christ. Peace of Christ be with you, Debbie.
Peace of Christ be with you, John. Christ be with you.
As you make your way back to your location in your pew, let me just give you a few announcements about the week and in the weeks ahead. Tomorrow, of course, is Labor Day, and so the church office will be closed. But if you need a minister, there is a minister on call phone number that's listed in your bulletin on the prayer and praises page near the bottom. So you can always call that. On Tuesday, September 3rd, and I think the first Tuesday of every month, Chrissy will have a hangout if you just want to come and talk with our pastor. She will be at Two Roosters in Greystone Shopping Center across the street. So that's this Tuesday, September 3rd, from 5:30 to 7. This Wednesday, our schedule is a little different than normal. At 5:45, we are having leadership training in the fellowship hall. That's for particularly for anyone that's on one of our teams for this coming year or one of our church committees for this coming year, but it's open to anybody that is interested in leadership training. That's at 5:45 this Wednesday. At 6:45 this Wednesday, also in the fellowship hall, we have a church conference, so we hope you'll be there to make your voice known. And then that will be followed at 7:30 by a choir rehearsal in the music room. We are still in need of volunteers for our children's music ministry on Wednesday nights. That will be about 40 minutes between 6 o'clock and 7:15 on Wednesday evenings. So if you'd be willing to be a children's choir director or even an assistant, another body in the room, we could use your help with that ministry. Also, our handbell choir will be beginning its fall season this coming Sunday, September the 8th. And if you're interested, if you have a good sense of rhythm and you're interested in ringing bells, I would love to talk to you about participating in our handbell choir this fall. Our youth choir, our student choir, will be starting up the following Sunday on September 15th. We'll be beginning with a planning meeting that night at 5:30. If you want to have the opportunity as a youth to participate in the planning of the fall and the spring youth choir seasons, make sure you're there that evening. And also, next Sunday is Heritage Sunday, so our schedule is not our normal schedule that day either. We will have Sunday school at 9:30, and then there'll be a joint worship service as we celebrate our 35th anniversary as a church at 10:30. And then after the 10:30 service, there's a covered dish luncheon in our fellowship hall. So I think that concludes our announcements. Amanda?
Pepper Chaplin wrote a hymn that you heard Heather sing earlier. And as our sending song this morning, we're going to sing that together. So the words are printed in your bulletin. And as we consider moving out of this space and into a world that calls for people who are kinder, who are marked by a spirit of love and generosity, who are shaped in the lives filled with the cross, let's sing together.
Help us live with holiness and honor, to be all love means for us to be, not content to injure or to quarrel, but to live in peace and harmony. Though we boldly go fulfill our mission, let us boldly go with love as well. Teach us how to care and show compassion, to live others as we love ourselves.
Brothers and sisters, practice humility and hospitality. Invite the lowly to your table. Remember the imprisoned and the tortured. Honor your covenants. Be content with what you have. Love God and walk in God's ways. Offer praise to God, our helper and our strength, and may God shine upon you and through you. Grace and peace until we meet again. Amen.